And now, the show that's all about baseball.
That's when the game, to me, is at its best.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Mass.
Brought to you by Bigelow Tea. I Promise, official eye vitamin of the Boston Red Sox. Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers and Window World.
A Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Altuve, the hitter, will swing and hook one down the line, headed deep into the corner. Verdugo to give that one a look. And that ball is going to be out of here. Home run for Altuve. And it barely got out down the left field line, scoring Maldonado in front of him to make it 4-0.
You're not going to see an uglier home run the rest of the season. This is incredible, this ball went out of the ballpark. Look at this swing. I mean, if this isn't a Minute Maid home run, I'd like to see what ballpark this goes out of besides this one.
Man.
Just an incredible home run that just got in the foul, around the foul pole.
Red Sox 11-2 losers yesterday to the Houston Astros at Minute Maid Park. Opener of a three-game series with Houston. I think it's a three-gamer. Is it four? Might be four.
I think it's four.
Okay, three games.
Why did I think it was four?
No, you're right. Never mind. Four. Huh? Four gamer with the Astros.
What is it?
Which only makes it worse. Only makes it worse, and here's why. The Red Sox are about to embark on what is really the most challenging part of their schedule. And on Saturday, they beat the Marlins at Fenway to go 12 games over 500 for the first time this year. No small feat. That's a good it's a good record, and it's a good achievement, given what we expected from the Red Sox here in the early part of this year. And so here's the problem. I think they're going to need it. Based on yesterday, talk about a bad way to start, McCarthy. You got this stretch of games coming up, four with Houston, three at New York after this. Then they play a makeup game with the Marlins that eats up an off day. Then they play three with Houston, four with Toronto, two with Atlanta. So this is murderer's row when it comes to a schedule. You're going to basically have 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks of real games against real opponents. Then you have Kansas City in there, and the Royals overall have been, you know, decent.
Hot start, they've fallen off.
Yeah, they have, but they're a 500 team. Yeah. I don't think it's a complete pushover there for Kansas City.
Yeah, they've got a major league left fielder, unlike you.
And so, good one, McCarthy. There you go, Andrew Benintendi. And then after the Kansas City series, you get Tampa and New York again. So the point being is this, the Red Sox have not faced a stretch of games like this all season long. So they started yesterday in Houston against the Astros, and they get their faces kicked in with Eduardo Rodriguez on the mound. True or false, McCarthy, you should be worried.
Yes, you should absolutely be worried.
Why?
Because this is the start of the real season, to be honest. It's June 1st, Maz, and this will be the month that makes or breaks the Boston Red Sox. Because as you mentioned, you play the Astros twice, you play the Yankees twice, you've got the Blue Jays in there, the Braves, and the Tampa Bay Rays, who are the hottest team in baseball right now.
They've won 15 out of 16.
So this is the month where you're going to find out whether the Red Sox can hang in there. And we're going to learn a lot about this team. And I think it's awesome that we're here. We're at this point where we've had a baseball season up until this point. The Red Sox still have the second best record in the American League. Doesn't necessarily feel like it with the way that they played over the course of May, which was good, not great. And that's what I ultimately think they are. I think they're good, not great. But you're really going to find out whether these first 2 months were legitimate or whether or not they were a fluke. Because you're going up against really the best the American League has to offer, and not that that's really all that much, because I don't think the American League is good. The Yankees are not playing good baseball right now. The Blue Jays, I don't know, they are who they are. The Astros aren't the superpower that they were a few years ago. But this month, you have legitimate competition this entire month. We're going to find out a lot about the Boston Red Sox. And thankfully, we're finding out, you know, about them here in June. We're not finding out about them in April. So I'm glad we're here, but this month it's no joke, Maz.
So here's what we're going to do. We're going to open up the phone lines right away. 617-779-0985 is your number here on the Baseball Hour. We did not talk any baseball today at all during Felger and Maz. So if you want to check in now, or if you want to talk about the Red Sox at all, now is your chance to do it. And Jason...
Unbelievable.
Jared Karabas will join us. Holy crap, it's been a long day, Jimmy.
Jared, tough weekend there, Maz. Yeah, what the hell's going on?
Longer than you know.
Yeah.
Jared Karabas will join us in the next segment. We'll take his temperature on how he's feeling about the Red Sox. But I let me tell you how I think I can see this thing unfolding. And this should not surprise anybody that the Red Sox have been kind of flying under the radar here for a couple of months. The Celtics have had lots of drama going on, and they're about to get eliminated from the playoffs. The Bruins are obviously in the midst of a second-round playoff series and look like they might be able to make some noise. The Patriots have drafted and basically, I say introduced, but started OTAs with Mac Jones in camp. So there's been plenty to talk about, plenty going on. And the Red Sox have gone relatively unnoticed. Mm-hmm. So now, things will quiet down with the Patriots for a little while, probably until a training camp starts. You have a mini camp coming up, but beyond that, they'll quiet down with the Patriots for a while. The Celtics are about to get eliminated, and so there will now be space in the sports drawer for the Red Sox, and we can start to pay attention to them. And up to now, they've played dog food on the schedule. So we're just starting. People are just going to start to pay attention to the Red Sox at a time when they are playing their hardest schedule. And I fear that they are going to get their asses kicked. And last night, if you saw the home run by Altuve, first of all, that ballpark is a joke.
Oh, it is a complete and total joke.
But it's always been a joke. Yep. It just makes me wonder why they ever had to steal signs in order to score runs there in the first place. Because that Houston lineup has always been heavily right-handed. Mm-hmm. And so in that ballpark, it makes sense. And Altuve, if you saw the pitch, was a ball down and away, kind of lunged out, stuck his bat out, hooked it down the line, ended up being a home run. I mean, at Fenway, it had been a double because the wall is so close. But in most other places, depending on where they're playing a guy, it probably would have been extra bases because it was right down the line. But it wasn't exactly smoked. Okay, it was a cheapie.
Yeah, it's a reverse Yankee Stadium. Left field's a joke, like the way that right field at Yankee Stadium's a joke. At least we have a 38-foot wall over here.
And again, that lineup is all righties. Yep. I never thought I would say this, Matt, but it might be a good thing that Garrett Richards is going to the mound tonight.
I couldn't agree more. He pitches away from those Crawford boxes. Lefties always struggle in Houston. I mean, go back to the 2017 playoff series when the Red Sox were so left-handed. Chris Sale, Drew Pomeranz, they got their faces ripped off there. Now, it also, you know, didn't help that the Astros were stealing signs. The Red Sox were probably stealing signs, too, because they had the Apple Watch, you know, like your Apple Watch. Big fans.
Yeah, look, again, I just think Houston is, they've always been tough in that ballpark. And Rodriguez is a guy who has a good changeup. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this is a big game for them tonight.
Yeah, kind of is, isn't it? My guy, Garrett Richards, on the mound.
It's a big game. You don't want to go in there and get your face kicked in 2 days in a row against a good team and have everyone go see their phony.
Why am I always here when Garrett Richards is pitching? It really is karma, Mass.
No, you're like a Garrett Richards magnet. So again, 617-779-0985. We'll kick it off tonight with John, who's in a car. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Mass, how are you?
Good.
About 4 or 5 weeks ago, maybe 6, I called you. It was after Garrett Richards had, you know, sort of displayed to the Boston people, fans, who he really is. And I said to you, do you think the era of 25 caps for 25 players has returned to the Red Sox? And you weren't sure. I wanted to know what you thought today, June 1st. Are we in that situation, or do they have a better esprit de corps?
Well, what do you think, John?
I think that Garrett Richards has been able to stabilize his performance, and in doing so, we don't have the aberrant behavior, but yet I don't know what's going on in the locker room, of course.
Okay, so here's what I would tell you. I'm not in that locker room anymore either. In fact, no one is during COVID, so it's hard to know what exactly the vibe is in the clubhouse. But I can tell you at the end of the day, what I really care about is the vibe in the dugout and the vibe on the field during games. McCarthy, what's your assessment of the Red Sox chemistry?
I mean, again, hard to say without being in there. I can only judge it based on what I see on the field, and I see a team that competes on just about a nightly basis. You can probably count on 1.5 hands how many times the Red Sox haven't been in a game this year. They're always in games. They play hard. I assume that means they like each other. They look like a team that probably gets along and probably likes each other just based on the way, you know, the style of play. They play kind of a grinded out style of game. And I don't think you come to the ballpark every day and grind it out if you don't generally feel good about what you're doing, you feel good about your job, and feel good about the guy next to you. I don't even really know why we're even talking about it. Nothing to me has indicated that there are any issues with this team.
Yeah, for all the concerns I have about the Red Sox, chemistry is not one of them.
It's probably about the last concern I have.
I mean, I have concerns about the depth and quality of their pitching staff. I have the questions about their ability to be good competition, the bottom part of their lineup, maybe the bullpen before Barnes. So there's lots of things I have questions about. But overall, I feel like they're on the same page. In fact, I think that's a big reason why they've been able to have some of the success they've had, because they haven't been fractured. If they were fractured, forget it. You'd have no chance. But the pitching, Eduardo Rodriguez went one, where he, the team went 1-5 in his six starts in the month of May. McCarthy, you tell me, if Eduardo Rodriguez sucks, can this team make a run at the playoffs?
Absolutely not. No way, no how. Absolutely not. I mean, you cannot get by without your ace. And he is your ace, Maz. This team is not good enough to get by without, you know, a strong performance from their number one starting pitcher. Now, I think it goes to show you some of the issues that they do have, given that Eduardo Rodriguez is their number one pitcher, because you and I both know, Maz, he's not an ace. He's not a number one. So that is reflective of the lack of talent that they have on this team. They got a, you know, bunch of major league pitchers, which is good. It's solid. It's perfectly fine. But for the Red Sox to make the playoffs, they're going to need certain things to go right. And you need to be carried by the core of your team. They have been carried by the core of this team. 2-5 in the lineup, Matt Barnes in the bullpen. But the only one not really carrying his weight is Eddie Rodriguez. And to me, that's the difference between making the playoffs and missing the playoffs. He better turn him around and fast, and I'm not convinced he does.
So there's two ways of looking at this. One is that there's still 11 games over, and Eduardo Rodriguez has sucked for a month. They have the capacity to withstand it. The question is, can they do it now that they're going to be facing better competition?
It's not sustainable.
So I would tell you, like, in the same breath as Eduardo Rodriguez, that Nick Pivetta has pitched way better than I thought he would.
Agreed.
So someone has to offset Rodriguez, and they're doing that. I just don't know whether they can do that all year. But I'll tell you what, we'll ask Jared Carabas how much of a problem Eduardo Rodriguez is. He will join us next from Barstool Sports. And we will continue with your phone calls and thoughts on the Red Sox and the Baseball Hour up until 7 o'clock.
Fastballs, curveballs, and breaking balls.
Eh.
The Baseball Hour on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Talking bases on balls.
Huge ones.
It's the Baseball Hour with Tony Mass on your home for Boston sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
That's something that I just got to go in the bullpen and work on it, you know. It's been 10 starts already, so I can't blame anymore and put all that, oh, I missed last year and all that. No, that can't happen anymore, you know what I mean? It's just part of the process to go out there every 5 days, man. You got to figure out a way to go to the next one and have a good result, you know.
Eduardo Rodriguez talking about his struggles, and I give him credit for this part of it, because the general sentiment was, or the general question was, you know, is this a result of missing last year? And he says, this is 10 starts. It's not like I'm making my third start and just, you know, now I'm trying to find it again. Out of the gate, he was pretty good this year. You know, again, his second start, 5 innings, 1 run. Next one, 6 innings, 2 runs. Then 7 innings, 3 runs. He threw 98 pitches, 71 strikes. That game against Seattle, he was good. He was good. 7 innings, they won the game, 5-3. He was a big reason. But anyway, enough of me railing on Eddie Rodriguez. Let's bring in Jared Carabas. Red Sox in Focus with Jared Carabas, presented by I Promise, the official eye vitamin of the Boston Red Sox. Upgrade your eyes. Visit iPromise.com, and that's E-Y-E, promise.com. Use the code MAZ for 50% off your first order. So what do you think, Carabas? Should we worry about E-Rod?
I don't know if worried is the right word.
It's the right
word. But I'm no longer able to make excuses for him. So that's
which is what you do best.
That is what I do best, and I feel like I do it really well. I think the last two starts, he's kind of de-weaponized my ability to make excuses for him. So now I'm kind of just wearing it on his behalf. Yeah.
Okay. Matt McCarthy's here as well. I know he wants to chime in with you on various topics.
Sure.
So let me ask you, bigger picture with the Red Sox here. And again, they took two from the Marlins over the weekend, got to a season high, 12 over .500. But you and I both know, Jared, they're now entering this critical stage against real teams where they've
played. Oh, it's a gauntlet.
Yeah, the Astros, the Yankees, the Braves, the Blue Jays. Some of those teams they will face in multiple series. And the first game they play is against the Astros, and they get their asses kicked yesterday, 11-2. Oh,
Tony, don't tell me that you're going to overreact to one game.
Why
don't
not?
Tell me you're going to do that.
Tell me why I shouldn't.
Well, I think we just kind of covered it. Eduardo Rodriguez has not been good this year. And, you know, it's one of those things where you have statistically your worst starter out there, which I do think that he will eventually turn a corner. I don't think that this is what he's going to be this year. And then once you kind of dig yourself a hole with your starter, it's not like you're deploying your best relievers after that. I mean, Brewer came out and it's, you know, he hasn't even been on the team all year. So I'm chalking that game up. Actually, before this series, I gave that game to the Astros. So it really doesn't even count. I said the Red Sox were going to take 3 out of 4 in the series. I said they were going to lose the first game. I didn't say they were going to get blown out in the first game. I said they were going to lose the first game. I didn't feel good about it, but I do feel good about the next three. So, I mean, I think it's really too soon to be like, oh, well, you know, they're on this stretch of playing really good teams. I noticed that you mentioned the Yankees and that stretch of good teams. They're not a good team, Tony.
Well, didn't you mention the Yankees when we talked about this stretch?
Yeah, I mean, they're there. They're in the way. Yeah, they're along the path, no doubt. But I think, what was it? They've got 30 games this year in which they've scored 3 runs or fewer. And I think the only other team in that neighborhood was the Pittsburgh Pirates, who are barely a major league franchise.
McCarthy?
I mean, hey, listen, Giancarlo Stanton, your guy, Maz, is out of the lineup tonight. I don't know if you saw that. Another good moment for the Yankees. But Carrabas, you did mention, you know, Eduardo Rodriguez. You think he's going to turn it around. How quickly does this need to happen? Because how sustainable is it for the Red Sox to stay in the playoff hunt in a, you know, again, going into a really competitive stretch here in June without the contributions of their ace? I mean, he is the ace of the staff, right?
He's the de facto ace. I don't think that anyone here would go into this season being like, yeah, Eduardo Rodriguez is an ace. Like, he had an ace-like season in 2019. But on most other staffs that have an ace, I mean, he's the number two. He's the number three starter here with Chris Sale not being healthy. I wouldn't consider him an ace. I think he's the de facto ace. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think he's a really good starting pitcher. And I do think that he'll turn a corner based on the statistics going into two starts ago. The last two starts have not been good. There's been no excuses for those. But he was getting BABIP to death leading up to that. But as it pertains to these other teams,
okay,
that we're
so,
talking
so
about,
Jared, hold on. But you got to explain what BABIP to death means to the average baseball fan.
Okay. So it's a batting average on balls in play, and it was way above normal, which means that, like, guys are hitting the ball and it's just falling in. It's bad luck.
Bad luck.
Yeah. It's a lot of bad luck with him. And it happened to, it happened to Nathan Eovaldi in kind of shorter samples where, you know, he was giving up hits. The average exit velocity on the hits was like 67 miles an hour. So he was getting dinky hits to death. And that, to a degree, was happening to Eddie. But over the last two starts, I mean, like I said, there's been no excuse. He's just been bad. He's been bad. He hasn't been giving them innings. He hasn't been giving them quality innings. There's been a lot of traffic. Yeah, there's been a lot of self-inflicted pain as it pertains to Eddie Rodriguez the last couple times out there. But the way that I look at it when you're talking about Eddie and needing to turn a corner and will they fall out of the playoff race, I mean, the Tampa Bay Rays, I picked them to win the division before the season started, so I'm not about to say that they're illegitimate because they've just been on a good run recently. But this was a 500 ball club. They were 19-19, and they needed to win 16 out of 17 ball games just to knock you two games back. Two games. So you look at what the Yankees have been doing. They lost Corey Kluber. They've only got Gerrit Cole. They want to tell you that Luis Severino is coming back. That dude hasn't been effective since 2018. The Baltimore Orioles, by the way, have scored as many runs this year. The Baltimore Orioles, that of the 14-game losing streak.
Yeah, they've lost 20 out of 22, I think it is. Is that right?
Yeah, they've won 17 games this year, Mass. So they have lost 14 straight. They have scored as many runs as the New York Yankees.
Yeah,
dead even.
They had three of those wins against the Red Sox to start the year, by the way, but keep going.
Yeah, they've also, the Yankees have the same record against the Orioles as the Red Sox do. Fun fact. But I'm not threatened by the Yankees. And the Tampa Bay Rays, like I said, they're on a hot streak right now. They can't sustain this. They're not going to play 900 ball the rest of the way. So even if Eddie isn't effective, which I think he'll come around at some point, you're still going to be in the hunt. Like, one starting pitcher being ineffective is not going to take you out of this race. It's just not.
Okay, so look, Jared, I don't think they're going to fall out of the race overnight either. Okay, I don't. And I think that they're probably going to be in it for the large majority of the season. But what would it take in this series, four games with the Astros, and again, they get their asses kicked in the first one, but they have Richards going tonight, they have Pivetta going, and then Martin Perez in the next three. So looking at those games, what would it take for you to look and go, uh-oh, that's not good? If they get their ass kicked two more times and lose three out of four and get swept, would you then go, uh-oh?
I don't think that I would reassess how I feel about that. I mean, it would be bad, no doubt. I mean, like, I think it would be bad for the narrative. It would be bad for someone in my position whose job it is to defend the team constantly.
You're an unbiased national baseball reporter and journalist.
Correct.
Yeah,
I am unbiased, but my unbiased opinion is that the Red Sox are good. So if I'm trying to defend my unbiased opinion, then it really puts a damper on my stance if they lose three out of four to a good team in the Houston Astros. But that being said, I'll find a way. I will find a way to shine up that turd if they lose three out of four, and we'll just keep moving on. That's what this team, because if what happens if they lose three out of four to the Astros and then they go into Yankee Stadium and sweep them three, you know, that's, then we don't speak again. We don't speak again until that would happen. So then we come into Tuesday, right? And then we're talking about a three-game sweep of the Yankees. We're not talking about losing three out of four to the Astros, are we?
So Jared, look, I get it. That strength of schedule in baseball is always a tricky thing because it depends on when you catch a team, you know, what the pitching matchups are. Are you healthy or not healthy? Are your best hitters hot or cold? So I understand all of that. In the same breath, I would tell you that the Red Sox have played dog food for the large majority of the year. Okay,
the league is dog food. That's not the schedule.
Okay, so that's true. It's a pretty mediocre league, and that's one of the reasons I think they're going to hang around in it. But let me tell you what does concern me about this particular stretch. Okay, the Yankees lead the league in ERA. I know you said they're not hitting, but they've been pitching well. Okay, sure. So the Yankees are number one in the league in ERA. Tampa's number three in the league in ERA. Houston is fourth. Toronto is fifth. So and the Braves, while a disappointment this year, I would argue that the Braves, have some talented guys on that staff. And, in the series here, well, you ended up splitting with the Braves, right? That was a two-gamer. So I do think, that this Red Sox team is vulnerable to good pitching, as all teams are. But with them especially, and here is why. If you look
They've beaten good pitching this year, though.
Okay, but Jared, they only win high-scoring games. The only low-scoring game that they won recently was the game on Saturday that was played in basically between monsoons, in which they won the game 3-1 over the Marlins. But for the most part, when they score three or fewer, they lose. And I feel like in these games against good teams, they're not going to score, and their pitching is not good enough to silence other lineups.
Do you remember that game that they beat Jacob deGrom 1-0? Remember that one?
Yeah, it was a long time ago, yeah.
That wasn't really that long ago.
Yeah, but again, you're looking at the
same. I mean, how often have they run up against an ace? I mean, they beat Jacob deGrom 1-0. They blew the doors off of Lucas Giolito.
They beat for a first series against the Rays this year.
Yeah, they beat Glasnow, who's definitely in the running for Cy Young. And I love Glasnow. But, I mean, they've gone up against good starting pitching, and I can't remember the last time that they got shut down and lost to an ace.
Jared, I'm just telling you, when they score three runs or fewer, they have one of the worst records in baseball. Okay, they won a game like that over the weekend.
You're using that to forecast in the postseason you're going to run up against aces. So I'm just saying, I'm listing off all these aces that they've already knocked off this season. I feel like, you know, if that's going to be, if you're going to say in the games that they've scored three runs or fewer, then that's kind of what, those are the games that you have to win, because in October, those are going to be the tight ones because you're going up against aces. And I'm here rattling off names of aces that they've knocked off not uncontested. I mean, the Jacob DeGrom game, that was incredible. I mean, like, how often do we see 1-0 baseball games in Major League Baseball anymore? But, you know, they
okay,
did.
So I'll tell you what. Let's see how it goes this week when they face the Astros and the Yankees. You and I can talk again next Tuesday. We'll mm-hmm. see how they do against these two staffs, which are, again, among the best in the American League, and then we can make another assessment of where the Red Sox are in the big picture. How's that?
I would love to make that assessment.
Does that sound fair?
I think that's fair.
So
can I play mediator between you, between the two of you at this time? Maz, you are correct. The Red Sox have struggled in low-scoring ball games this year. It is pretty, you know, it's pretty true. They score four more, they win. They score, you know, four less, they lose. I mean, that's basically what it is. Jared, you are also correct that basically every time the Red Sox have gone up against an ace, it seems like they win that game. So here's what you need to know. Here's all you need to know about the Boston Red Sox. They're not really that good, but they're super competitive. And that's really all you can ask for a team that's really all that not all that good. So when they go up against an ace, they turn in a damn good product. But on the whole, over the course of 160, Maz, you're right. They are who they are.
Yeah. So look, again, Jared, we can argue about it next week. Okay. We'll argue about it. And remember, as an objective journalist.
Unbiased.
That's right. I'm sorry. As an unbiased member of the media who covers the team, your unbiased opinion is that they are good.
They are good, yeah.
Okay, yeah, your unbiased opinion. Okay,
that's my unbiased opinion.
Got that. Were you at the game on Saturday?
I was at the game on Friday. I was very intoxicated.
Yeah. Season tickets? You have season tickets still?
I do have season tickets still. I have not sat in my seats yet. I've kind of just been floating around.
All right.
So
unbiased. Yeah. Objective, unbiased. You were in your season ticket seats.
I was not in my season.
Not in your season ticket seats,
right.
But you still have your season tickets.
But he was still there.
I still have my season tickets.
Okay.
He was bopping around.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for the invitation to those seats, by the way.
Maz, whenever you want to go, you snap your fingers. It's me and you sitting in those seats together. We'll make a whole night out of it.
All right.
I'll take you to dinner. Nice little fancy steak, maybe some wine.
No, I'll buy the food and the beverages. We'll go from
Done.
There. I'll owe you one. All right, so Jaron Karabas, Barstool Sports, thank you for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
I can't wait for next week,
Matt. Matt McCarthy has your headlines, and we'll get to that Saturday game with Adam Ottavino on the mound. It was a great moment at Fenway. We'll touch on that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The show where it's always a full count.
Oh, I like this. Yeah!
Baseball Hour with Tony Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's been so great to hear this again today here at Fenway. Loaded in the seventh. Ottavino's 1-2. He got him swinging.
From Saturday's win over the Marlins. Key spot in that game, Adam Ottavino with a 2-0 lead, bases loaded, struck out two guys. He got two strikes on the second batter. Crowd at Fenway got to its feet. You could hear the roars get louder and louder, the applause get louder and louder. Ottavino delivered the pitch, strikeout, place exploded. Ottavino pumps his fist, old school Fenway. Old school Fenway, which is the kind of stuff that we've been missing during this pandemic. I just thought it was a cool moment, and it certainly caught my eye over the weekend, as well as the stuff at the Garden with the Bruins, David Pastrnak's hat trick. Just nice to see full arenas again, or close to full arenas again. There are only 25,000 people at Fenway on Saturday. I say only. Compared to what mm-hmm. they've had, that's obviously a good-sized crowd.
And it was a bit miserable day, too.
It was a miserable day. A lot of people were eager to get back out there, Matt, as you know, as mm-hmm. we all know. And so I just thought it was, you know, nice to be reminded of what that place can be like when the crowd is into it. That's all. I want to get back to what Jared Carabas said in a moment. But first, Jerry is in Warwick on the Red Sox-Astros series. Go ahead, Jerry.
Yeah, hi. Thanks, guys. I just wanted to quickly touch on, like you guys, I had other things to be focused on yesterday for the Bruins. But I fast-forwarded through the game because I just wanted to see how bad they did suck. I am a diehard fan, but I just wanted to see what pitchers screwed up and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, I just happened to hear, because Dave O'Brien returned, and it was just Dennis Eckersley with him. And I just cringed. I mean, like I said, I'm a diehard fan. I just cringed when they were started to talk about, they focused in on the banner of 2017, and Dave O'Brien mentioned scandal, and Eck is, and they even said, you know, how can anybody think of that 2017 championship without, you know, having stink on it? And I'm like, I'm cringing. I'm like, don't you remember? We're kind of accused in 2018. I just wanted to mention that because I just wanted your feedback because I think once just for a quiz I called in, I just wanted your feedback on that.
Well, so look, Jerry, here's what I would tell you that, you know, the Astros are still catching some heat for this. The one person, someone else mentioned this to me, and I think it's fair. The one person who has kind of skated through this whole thing is Cora.
Right.
Who is really the architect of the whole thing.
Well, I want to push back on that a little bit.
Okay, go.
I think A.J. Hinch and Jeff Luhnow did try to bury Alex Cora and Carlos Beltran. You know why? They were the only two people who weren't still a part of the organization at the time. So I think they did try to pin it on the guys who weren't there. I'm not saying that Cora wasn't involved in it. I guarantee you he was, and he was involved in a big way.
But no, it's a fair point, Matt, because yeah. if you were running those organizations, you'd say, well, let's pin it on the people who aren't here anymore.
Exactly. And that's exactly what Luhnow and Hinch tried to do. Not saying that Cora, you know, shouldn't deserve criticism. He absolutely does. But I think architect might be a little bit strong.
Okay. So he was, you know, principally involved in it.
Absolutely. That's a better way to put it.
And so the one thing I will say, and I was reading Peter Abraham's story in the Globe today, Cora, I think, for the most part, has accepted his responsibility for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there were a couple things he didn't like. He felt like he was singled out and the stuff that he said early on. But I don't think at any point has he denied being involved in it or the significance of it. And I think on some level that has helped him.
I agree.
Like, I do feel the fact that he has, you know, owned it, for lack of a better word, or worn it, I think has helped minimize a lot of the scrutiny. And let's face it, the Red Sox were so bad last year. Mm-hmm. We would have taken just about anybody back as manager as long as it wasn't Ron Renneke. Not that it was his fault, but I think Ron Renneke is now associated with that season and that team. That guy should have, to me, the Red Sox couldn't have paid him enough for the job he did for them last year.
Unbelievable. Talk about the fall guy. Chris Carter says you find a fall guy in sport. Ron Renneke, the fall guy, no doubt about it.
But they were so bad that I think people were eager to get someone back in with some credibility whom they believed in. And I say credibility in terms of a big league pedigree, because certainly Cora had hurt his credibility. And I know I felt that way. And so to me, bring him back. Hell yeah. And I don't really question now whether the Red Sox are doing anything different than any other team. I don't know that you can. Maybe you can. Maybe they've got something devious going on, in which case I would say don't get caught. So I thought the credibility of Alex Cora, the profile of Alex Cora, was really important for them to bring back.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I think Alex Cora, to me, Maz, is the story of this Red Sox season. I think he's in many ways the face of the turnaround. Just because, you know, when you brought in Cora in 2018, he got the most out of the core. He got the most out of Devers, the most out of Bogarts. Now, he hasn't gotten the most out of Eduardo Rodriguez this year, but the guys that you needed to get the most out of, well, they've gotten the most out of just about all of them. JD Martinez is back and engaged. You have to give a level of credit to Alex Cora there. I think he's the story of this year, Maz.
Yeah, to me, again, I just think that the day he walked back in the door, they became a big league operation.
Agreed.
And so last year, they were Mickey Mouse. They were Mickey Mouse. And I don't think it's a coincidence that some of these guys are playing well, because I think they're all on board because Cora is back.
Mm-hmm. So
I think the manager has meant a lot to this team. 617-779-0985. We'll take a quick break here, and then we'll come back. McCarthy was looking up something during the break as it pertained to the Red Sox pitching staff. And I think that, you know, we came to a fairly elementary conclusion, but I think it's one worth sharing. We'll tell you what that is right after this.
The show that's all about baseball. The Baseball Hour. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Here's the designated talker mouth.
Swing that ass.
The Baseball Hour with Tony Mass. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, this is the Baseball Hour, 617-779-0985. Tony Mazz hustling his way back, from my understanding. I see Arcan waving him in, like we're good to go. Bring it on. Bring it on. I've never seen Mazz run so fast. Boy, that's some athleticism. That is some Tufts athleticism right there from Mazz. He's not winded whatsoever. He's good to go.
I got wheels.
You do have wheels.
Sorry about that. I ran into Cedric Maxwell in the hallway. Hadn't seen him in a while, and I lost track of time.
I understand that.
How late am I?
You're not late at all.
Okay, sorry about that. So welcome back to the Baseball Hour. And right before we went to break, McCarthy was looking something up online that I think I wanted to follow up on because I think it's interesting. So you were looking at the team pitching stats in the American League.
Mm-hmm.
And you asked me what?
I said, Mazz, where do you think the Red Sox rank in baseball and in the American League in team ERA?
Okay,
it's very, very rudimentary.
Okay, and I knew the answer because I had just looked up to see where the Astros and the Yankees were when we were talking to Jared Carrabas. And they are smack dab in the middle.
Yep.
They're at seventh. Okay, actually, technically, I guess what? Eighth would be smack dab in the middle. But the point is they are very average pitching staff.
They are actually smack dab in the middle in baseball at 15. Now, granted, you judge ERA based on American League, National League, because you got the DH in one league. Judging them in baseball is not necessarily the most fair way, but it is interesting. They're smack dab in the middle in the AL and smack dab in the middle in all of Major League Baseball.
And they have the second best record in the league.
That's correct.
And one of the top, what, five in the big leagues? Like that?
Yep, exactly.
With an average pitching staff.
They'd be third place in the National League West, but I think that would still be good for fifth or sixth in all of baseball.
Okay, so I'm willing to bet, and the reason I thought this was interesting, I'm willing to bet that the Red Sox had exactly this formula in mind when they built this team, that they said Evaldi, Rodriguez, Garrett Richards, Martin Perez, and Nick Pivetta, none of them are superstars, none of them are aces, but they're big league arms. And if we can get them to be an average staff, along with Matt Barnes and whatever other collection of clowns we put in the bullpen, if we can get them to be average, our offense will be good enough that we can win 85 games.
That's working.
I'd be willing to bet that that's the formula they used. And I think that they're right. I mean, I think they've been proven to be right. Now, they're ahead of that pace because they played garbage. But when they play good teams, the number's going to come down. I hope they're in the running for a playoff spot. I'm not convinced it's going to be that way. Let me rephrase. They'll be in the running for a playoff spot.
Not convinced they're going to actually get there.
Correct.
I would agree with that.
I started to think there for a while that they should get in. But last night's game or yesterday's game with the Astros scared the crap out of me because that's a real lineup that Houston has and it's still a real roster and they kick the snot out of you. Now it's one game, but I need to see how this series goes and really these next few weeks because it's going to tell us a lot.
July 1st, Mazz, we're going to have a really good idea if the Red Sox should be a playoff team or should not be a playoff team. You get through this month, as we talked about at the top of the show, with the teams that you're playing, you get through this month, and let's say for the sake of discussion, you're two games behind the Rays right now. You get through this month and you're two games behind the Rays? Oh, you better be adding because you're a playoff-worthy team after going through this month. We're going to find out who the Red Sox are here. It should be a fun month of baseball. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and I think it might even be like 2 or 3 weeks. Like, I don't think it's going to take the full month, but at the end of the day, the bigger sample always matters more, Matt. Rays and Revere. Go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, fellas, you know, the question for me is, does the owner add? Because I think this division is a dogfight. And I think the Yankees, they got 28 consecutive winning seasons. Cashman's got a stacked minor league system. So if he wants to pivot and go after it, I think he can. But, you know, the Red Sox have not been a wild card since the rules changed in 2012. They were the wild card seven times in the prior 14 years. It's division of bust for this owner. I'm going to hang up, but I do not think he adds, given that he's right up against the luxury tax threshold. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, so, Ray, I don't think that that's what the deterrent is. I mean, Matt, you tell me. I think the bigger deterrent is that they don't have the prospects to deal.
Well, I think both are the deterrent, and just the overall philosophy that you don't want to give up Tristan Casas, Jaron Duran, Jeter Downs for, you know, a rental. A rental, exactly, which is generally what you're dealing for at the deadline, and I would agree with that. But you can still add to this team. You can add on the edges. You can add on the periphery. You can add the Steve Pierces of the world, the Bobby Kilties. I go back to it. You can add Addison Reed, like Dave Dombrowski did a few years ago. And you don't have to give up anything for those guys. So they better add on the edges. You're not going to add an impact player. You're not trading for Max Scherzer. You're not doing any of that. But can you go out and trade Jalen Beeks for this year's version of Nathan Eovaldi? Well, maybe. And you should be doing that. Maybe the luxury tax comes into play there.
See, I'll tell you what.
I hope not.
I really don't think the luxury tax comes into play.
I hope you're right.
I mean, so do I. I could be wrong. I'm not telling you I know anything. But I would tell you that, first of all, with the luxury tax, a lot of people don't even understand it. Mm-hmm. All you pay tax on is the amount you go over. Okay? So if you go over by $5 million and you're paying 20% tax, it's only an extra $1 million.
Right, and you reset the tax penalties, which is something they care deeply about.
But they already reset those.
Exactly.
Right? That's what you meant.
Yeah, okay. At the cost of Mookie Betts, but you reset your tax penalties.
Yeah, so I would argue that actually, if there's a chance for them to make a deal, but they have to take on someone with a contract to do it, or... ideally, I think if you listen to Chaim Bloom when he's talked about it, he has said that, you know, they would like to get someone with term on the contract. They don't want a rental. Mm-hmm. So if it's someone that they can keep and use next year, they'd be more interested in that kind of player. So I don't think the money is a deterrent. Now, let me rephrase. I don't think the luxury tax is a deterrent. If they've lost money because they haven't had fans in the ballpark and revenues are down and they say, well, we have to trim payrollers out, that's something different.
Sure.
Okay, I don't think it's the tax, though, because I just in my estimation, and again, I have no inside info. That's not an Apple Watch thing. I know quickly you got like 30 seconds on Brandon Workman.
So news today, Brandon Workman has triggered his opt-out. The Red Sox have 48 hours to either call him up from Worcester or release him. Brandon Workman should be on the Boston Red Sox today. Colton Brewer has no business being on the Boston Red Sox. You're going to carry 14 pitchers. It better be Brandon Workman, who gave up, I think, 3 hits and 7 innings in Worcester. He pitched all right. Give him a shot over Colton Brewer and his rocket rate and his spin rate.
Yeah, especially if you're going to lose him.
Exactly. Give him a shot. Why the hell not?
Bring him up and get rid of Brewer.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.